This is KTOO's Juno Afternoon. Scott Burton, your host today, and we're right at the bottom of the hour. My next guest is with the Juno Audubon Society. It's Brenda Wright. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
It's nice to have you here, and this is sort of part of our series to exemplify healthy activities that we can do during a pandemic, and I think we can all agree that birding is pretty safe, right?
Yep, it sure is. You have to do it outside, although you can look out your window, but it's really more fun to go outside and be able to hear them also.
All right, and some of our listeners may remember a couple weeks ago you came on the air with my co-host Shelley Delaney, and you taught us about the pine siskin, the Pacific wren, the song sparrow, the dark-eyed junco, and the varied thrush. And I know all of our listeners went out and found all five of those birds. So thank you for that, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did. If they didn't, you might have to keep your eyes closed now to see some of those.
Right, and now they have homework. Okay, so we're going to learn four new birds today. But before we get to those four birds, give us maybe like your top two trails, top three trails where we should be going birding right now.
Okay, well, you know, actually, the recreation area right there at Auk Bay, the campsite area and the point, that's wonderful for all the tree birds, and you got to see some of the shorebirds also. But the dike trail is full of sound, too, and that's a really nice one to be able to take your strollers or the little bikes for the little ones, and they get to enjoy it, too.
All right, so like Point Louisa Auk Rec area and the campground in there, and then the dike trail as well. All right, two spots where we can go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the dike trail especially is also an accessible trail, so that's a good thing. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So there's two good locations where we can go, and I know the dike trail is also nice during sunset. But I know Point Louisa is too. Okay, so what are we learning today?
Well, we're going to learn the four birds that we thought about today. One might be something that people might actually recognize. I'm seeing it so often in the yards. It's the American robin.
All right. Let me pull up the audio for that. Let's see if I can get this to play here. Okay. Play it once more. All right, and how would you describe how the American robin looks?
Oh, yeah, this is a really nice one because it's got this really nice bright orange breast and a black head, so that makes a nice contrast. And the thing I like about this bird is if you happen to see it, it's often on the ground because it loves worms. And if it flies up into a tree, it'll turn and look at you. It's the one most easy to photograph because it likes to pose.
All right.
And it's a nice size, too. It's all 10 inches, so, you know, it's not teeny tiny.
I think you've answered this before, Brenda, but what is it that draws you to birding? Why are you so interested in them?
You know, it was funny. I didn't like them at all when I was young because they never sit still. Flowers were so much easier to learn. But birds are lively and alive, and they come and make our woods alive in the spring. They keep us company all winter. They're just really fun things to do.
Right, right. You know, and I think we've talked about how beautiful they can be or their bird calls. Remind us sort of what they do for the ecosystem.
You know, that's a great question because people think of them as just being pretty or hearing the songs or seeing that flash of color in the woods. But they actually directly impact us in many ways, our human health and also our food production. Can you imagine a world where there were no birds that ate insects? my favorite birds here are the ones that eat mosquitoes. Can you imagine being up to 6 feet and up and over in bugs because there were no birds eating them? And they spread seeds. And not around here so much, but there's a lot of birds that clean up nature for us, like vultures, but we have gulls and ravens. Our beaches are always spotless, don't you think?
Yeah, right. And is it true that they're also pollinators?
Yes, they definitely pollinate. Very many plants are pollinated by birds, and many, many, many more plants are dispersed. The seeds go through the intestinal tract and come out somewhere miles away, and so a new plant can grow in an entirely different place.
Okay. All right. So far, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Brenda Wright from the Audubon Society, and we are getting our homework for the weekend, our five four birds today to go out and find over the weekend, possibly at Point Louisa, Ockrack, or on the Dyke Trail. Are two good suggestions, though I suspect we can all just go out our back doors to do this. All right, what's next, Brenda?
Okay, well, this one might not be quite as common, but it's very common in Lemon Creek. It's the red-winged blackbird.
All right, let's take a listen. All right, I've definitely heard that before, but I didn't know who was doing it. How does the, maybe its name speaks for itself, but how does, what does the red-winged blackbird look like?
Well, you know, it doesn't have an entire wing of red, but it's a really pretty glossy black, and it's got this big shoulder patch of red. And when it's singing that song we just heard, it puffs it up so that it looks like a lieutenant's epaulets on his uniform, and they just lean over and make that sound. And they like to pose, too, when they're doing their territorial. They sit right on the top of a tree or a branch and let you know that this is their place.
So far we've talked about the robin and the red-winged blackbird. I don't remember seeing either of those over the winter. Would they have been somewhere else?
Yes, normally we don't have hardly any robins that stay over winter with us. They do like things that are in non-frozen ground, like worms. So they mostly leave. But the red-winged blackbird, we have a small colony of them that actually lives in Lemon Creek all through the winter, and I think they might take advantage of our landfill.
Okay. All right. So what's next?
We're going to listen to the ruby-crowned kinglet.
Okay. Let me get it going here. And how would you describe what a ruby-crowned kinglet looks like?
Now, this bird has a voice three or four times bigger than its body.
Okay.
It's only about a 4 3/4 inch long, and it's kind of greenish-yellow with a little bit of white around its eye. The ruby crown comes from when it's being territorial, and it raises this bright ruby-red crest on its head. But most of the time, it's flitting around so fast, it's about the same size as an alder leaf or smaller. And so right now, this is the time you can see them flitting around, but you hear them most because they have that huge voice.
Do you have a trick for remembering bird calls?
You know, there's some people are much better at music than I am, but this particular one, the Ruby Crown, kind of reminds me of Tchaikovsky's, like, da 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 da. It's not that, but it's similar. But it helps if it can go like the yellow warblers go sweet, sweet, sweet. You know, if it sounds like a word, it really is helpful to be able to remember what they're singing.
All right, and here's the ruby crowned kinglet once more. Okay, what's next, Brenda?
Well, we have the yellow-rumped warbler. Now, like it says, it's yellow, but we like to hear it too.
All right, here's the bird call. And how would you describe how the yellow-rumped warbler looks?
Well, you know, this is one of the birds that really follows up to its name. It's got this lovely yellow patch on its rump. So as it flits through the trees, that's the one thing that's going to attract your eye, and the fact that it's got some white on the tail edges. So there's this yellow flash and then white flash. It also has a little bit of yellow on its sides, but other than that, it's kind of bluish, blackish, a little bit of white on the throat. So the song will help you find it because it likes to flit through the trees, too, looking for bugs.
Of the last two that we just spoke of, the yellow-rumped warbler and the ruby-crowned kinglet, would those two have hung out this winter?
No, the ruby crown kinglet does not stay here all winter. Its first cousin, the golden crown kinglet, does. But it's the kind of bird that's very tiny, only 4 inches, and it loves the tops of the tallest spruce. So you might see something flitting up there, but you might not get a very good look at it in the winter.
Okay.
And the yellow rump likes insects best, and so it doesn't stay with us all winter.
Brenda, are you the kind of person that has a list of birds you've seen in your life, if I may ask?
I'm not a serious life lister, but I really do enjoy writing down the very first time I ever saw something, like it happened to be in the desert or Utah or up at Nome in Alaska, and then it was the very first time I saw something that just kind of makes it a nice remembrance day.
Yeah. Do you have a story or an example of something that really surprised you or made your day? A big one on your list, I guess.
Oh, a big one, yeah. Well, there's a little bird up in Nome called the blue throat. It actually it comes across from Russia, and a little bit south of Russia. And it just comes over to Nome in the summertime. And we had gone up there in June, and it only snowed once on us. We were so lucky. But this little tiny bird has this beautiful blue throat that's got like four colors. It looks like an upside-down rainbow on its throat. And it's one of those kind of birds that jumps up and sings this gorgeous song. And as it comes down, it's singing another song and comes to the same perch. It's just a really, really fun little thing to get to see and hear.
Okay. Thinking of our listeners going out and birding this weekend, are binoculars imperative?
Well, they are very, very helpful for these little tiny guys. But with any luck, if you can hear them, you'll be able to see them flitting. And then when you see them, you can just keep watching them to see if you can see a yellow patch or hear their song again and remember which one it is.
All right. Today we learned the robin, the red-winged blackbird, the yellow-rumped warbler, and the ruby-crowned kinglet. Thinking of Audubon Society, Brenda, is anything coming up that we should know about?
You know, we had a wonderful birdathon last Saturday, and we really appreciate everybody contributing everybody that went out to look for birds and everybody that contributed. We were splitting all the contributions in half with the Southeast Food Bank. But that was really fun. But we're trying not to do a big groupings of anybody, so we're not doing any of our guided walks this spring.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to when we can do that again. Where's the best place to find you online?
Well, we have our webpage is Juneau Audubon Society, and we do also have a Facebook page where we post lovely pictures and videos.
All right, Brenda Wright, as always, thank you. Thanks for giving us those four birds to look for this weekend, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bird on a wire, like a drunken egg.